Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Today, we'll learn how to clear away that clutter and buzz through our to-do list. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Dean. On the Jewish calendar, we have just ushered in what is called the 3 weeks. This is not just any three-week block of time, but the sobering and even mournful three-week period between the Hebrew date of the 17th of the month of Tammuz and the 9th of the month of Av, Tisha B'Av. Five major catastrophes occurred in Jewish history on the 17th of Tammuz, for which we mourn, and the intensity of mourning reaches a peak on Tisha B'Av, a day when numerous calamities and grave misfortunes throughout Jewish history occurred. So while we're in this time of midsummer, with all the long sunny days, while many folks enjoy breezy days at the beach or picnics and summer vacation in general, we're also going to make good use of our time here on the Modern Jewish Home Show by taking a good look at that endless to-do list of tasks that are part of everyone's life, especially if you run a busy home. And we're going to learn how to buzz through that to-do list. I'm so excited about hearing from today's guests on the show. Each has great insights about getting the job at home done. First up, the founder of JewishMom.com, Hannah Jenny Weisberg, is back in the studio with me to talk about what she calls parenting amnesia, and also a really helpful method she learned about tackling those tasks that many parents would rather just save for later or even avoid altogether. And later, Devorah Benarosh, who founded the company she calls My Internet Buzz, will discuss a topic that is of crucial importance to anyone who has goals she wants to reach. What's your biggest dream? What would you just love to accomplish one day? Well, Devorah has some great ideas about getting us started on the path to success. You won't want to miss this. And rounding out today's show is personal organizer Rebecca Saltzman. Her business is called Balagan Be Gone, which is another way of saying adios to messiness and disorganization. And Rebecca is stopping by to talk about clearing away clutter. Well, someone's got to do it. That's someone? Well, that's us, right? Who else is going to stop stuff from piling up? Am I right? There's no time like the present to get stuff done. So, after a short break, Hannah Jenny Weisberg is talking about parenting amnesia and remembering what's important.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Dean. I'm speaking with Hannah Jenny Weisberg. She is the creator of JewishMom.com, a popular website which provides daily doses of inspiration and encouragement. In addition to her articles and videos on the website, Hannah Jenny is the author of two popular books, Expecting Miracles and One Baby Step at a Time. Hannah Jenny is back in the studio, this time to describe what she calls the mothering spiral and how to set reasonable goals and embrace our responsibilities. Welcome back, Hannah Jenny Weisberg.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Okay, so you recently had a lead article on your website, and that was the topic of motherly amnesia. Can you explain to me what that is?
So I had an interesting experience that I read about something, a certain concept in a book, and I mentioned this to my readers, as though it was this amazing new revolutionary concept and kind of parenting tip. And then one of my longtime readers wrote a comment and said, I think you've mentioned this in the past. In fact, you mentioned it on page 31 of your second book. And I have no recollection of this, and I have no recollection of this parenting tip that I thought was very revolutionary. No, I have no memory of it.
Okay.
So I talked about this experience of parenting amnesia, how really like I'm constantly relearning the same things over and over. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I started reattending about 17 years ago. I started attending a parenting class. And recently, I started attending again.
The same teacher.
With the same teacher, mm-hmm. the same class. Mm-hmm. And I need it again. Mm-hmm. And you might think, you know, now I've been a mother for so many years, mm-hmm. and I've taken quite a few parenting classes and courses. Why do I still need to take this parenting class? Mm-hmm. And so what I wrote about was just that it's not exactly that I forget. It's that, you know, there's this concept about the Jewish holidays, about the Jewish year, how it's not that just that we're going every year around and around like a carousel, like a merry-go-round.
Right, like, okay, you know? It's Purim again. Yeah. Let's get out the Purim box with the costumes.
Exactly. Right. That actually Jewish life is like a spiral, that very subtly we're going upward and upward and upward. Just living this Jewish life mm-hmm. is taking us higher and higher through the process of going through Purim and Passover and Shavuot. And that we're actually very subtly going higher and higher. Mm-hmm. And I think Mother So my point in the article is that we're actually, even though it might seem that like I'm back in the same parenting class, back in the same, you know, seat, learning from the same teacher, still as clueless as I ever was, uh-huh. but it's not true. I'm actually am spiraling upward in the upward. Same way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like that through motherhood, I am growing and I am very subtly getting better and learning more and learning how to handle situations better.
Mm-hmm. So that therein lies the amnesia is that, I integrated it once, and the amnesia is, I need to integrate that again.
Yeah.
Now, from the article, you also wrote that you're not the only repeat mom in that group.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally not the only one.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, 17 years ago, we took this class with a bunch of mothers from the neighborhood, and it was when we were having our first children. Mm-hmm. My oldest, I think, was 3. Mm-hmm. Now she's 19.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so now I have a friend, she's in the class, a mother of 12 children. And she now attends the class with her married daughter,
oh, wow.
who is now a mother of 2 children.
Oh, nice.
And so,
oh,
and
nice.
I remember when the same mother would ask questions about that daughter
about
in
the old,
17
mother.
Years ago oh. in the parenting mm-hmm. class.
Yeah. Now, what are some of the topics just for yourself that you are igniting in your motherly lexicon, in your parenting skills?
So the specific parenting tip that I talked about, it's the idea of that when we do something nice for our children, it's not only that we're being nice, not only that we're being good mothers, mm-hmm. it's not only that we love our children, so I'm giving them a bowl of cornflakes so that they won't be hungry, it's actually that I am in that moment that I am doing a mitzvah, that I am performing a commandment. And so the tip is you say while you're giving the child cornflakes or putting on a Band-Aid or taking them to kindergarten, mm-hmm. you say to yourself, I am prepared and willing to perform the mitzvah, to perform the commandment of raising children,
okay.
for example.
Right.
And it kind mm-hmm. of brings up the act of kindness to an actual way of serving God, of mm-hmm. something that brings God great pleasure because mm-hmm. it's a mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working on this recently. I think it kind of brings uplifts regular kind of humdrum everyday mothering moments mm-hmm. and makes it kind of feel as important as it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
in God's eyes, it is what we're doing is very important. Mm-hmm. It really is a mitzvah.
You have also said in a similar vein in one of your video pep talks, which I encourage mothers who want to feel like it's as though your sister is sitting down with you and just sharing, right? You're not necessarily teaching, but you're sharing. This is what I was going through, a very real human experiences. This is what I learned from it, or I'm still struggling with it, whatever. I encourage mothers to watch these, and you'll get a lot, these video pep talks. So anyway, in what you're talking about with regarding to doing something nice for your children, right? So there's a great video pep talk, probably one of my favorites, about what to do when you're feeling ambivalent about something you have to do, right? So you had a lesson from parenting expert Dina Friedman.
Yeah, I've been taking an amazing course with a parenting expert named Dina Friedman. So she teaches a special course called the Power Series about achieving our desires. About achieving our dreams. It's a 20-week course, and I recommend it very, very highly to everyone listening. So she talks there about, like, let's say that you're ambivalent. Probably many of us, all of us, I assume, we have things that we have to do that we feel ambivalent about, whether it be, you know, cleaning the house or going to work or cooking something for dinner. So what she says, it's a very simple but I think powerful tip. She says, before you do this thing you feel ambivalent about, make sure, get yourself all on board. So how you do it is you just very simply make a list of 10 things, 10 reasons you are actually excited about the thing that you have to do. Why am I excited that I have to now make dinner?
And you really have to, this is something I think in this video you're saying, that you really have to write this list besimcha. You have to feel happy as you write it, or channel that happiness so that you can seriously sit down and do this list. You write it with a smile is one of the things you mentioned. Okay, so you gave the example of having to spend one of the Jewish holidays just on your own without your husband handy because you couldn't drive to where he was. He was teaching at the school where he teaches. So here you were on your own, right? That's a common thing with mothers. It's like, oh, my second pair of hands isn't here, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So how did you overcome that?
So I thought of, it was a specific holiday. My husband teaches. It's a holiday that Jews stay up the entire night learning Torah. So I was going to be on my own the whole evening with the kids and the whole morning, basically, because everyone would be sleeping from staying up the whole night. And so I thought to myself, 10 reasons. I was feeling very upset and very embittered. That this was my fate, spending the dinner on my own with my three young children. So I thought to myself, okay, I bought myself a new book I could read. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be able to read this book. I bought myself a magazine, and I'm going to be able to, instead of having a nice family meal like the rest of the Jewish people, I'm going to be able to read this book. I'm going to be able to read this magazine, to read this other magazine that I bought I was excited about.
Right.
And I'm getting all this divine reward because my husband's teaching.
Right,
and I'm very proud of my children. My older children are all going to be spending the whole night learning Torah. Therefore, they're not home. But I'm very proud of them. I raised children who want to learn Torah for so many hours. That's wonderful.
Right. They could be doing something else.
Yeah.
You know?
They could be at a disco. You know, who knows? And I thought, you know, and that I was going to be able to spend the time, you know, contemplating the deeper meaning of the holiday and thinking about my goals for the year and all these things and the no cleanup.
Oh, that's true. Cause you're right. We're in holiday mode. So we don't clean house during that. The earlier things you were mentioning though, about having the luxury to read, which again, you love to do, and who doesn't love to flip through a magazine or a great book. This is when the kids are finally in bed. Like at least you'll have.
So all my little kids, they were all asleep by 9:30. So if we'd had an actual meal with guests, you know, probably I would get to sleep around midnight.
Yeah.
And so no, but instead of having everyone around, I had a nice evening, quiet evening on my own, surrounded by sleeping children. And I was able to do all these fun things. And I would have been happier probably if everyone had been, if it'd been like a regular holiday meal.
Right.
But actually, I did have a nice time.
Oh, good. So it worked. It was a great exercise. The other thing I like about sitting down to making a list like this is once you, before the holiday, before whatever it is you're dreading or feeling ambivalent about, now you have a document. You can always refer to that. Like, oh yeah, why was I excited about this task or this thing? It's like, yeah, oh yeah, you have that as a reference point. And speaking of lists, you have a very interesting take on to-do lists, right? Don't take it as something written in stone.
Exactly. So I think that's something that I learned from my teacher, Rabbi Aryeh Niven. So he talks about how, you know, to-do lists can become their own idolatry. You know, you have it written down on your to-do list, and then nothing else that comes up can possibly be as important as this the 10 things on your to-do list. Mm-hmm. But no, actually, we should actually be something that I've learned over the years. It's been hard for me. But to learn that, you know, sometimes, okay, a child is sick, a child fell down, needs a Band-Aid, your husband's on the phone, needs to talk to you, mm-hmm. you know, and that is actually more important than the 10 things you wrote at 8 a.m. that morning on your to-do list.
Right. So some tasks can wait till the next day, folks. Thanks so much, Chana Jenny Weisberg. Always nice to see you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
There's more coming up on the Modern Jewish Home Show. Stay tuned.
Why are so many non-Jews interested in Judaism? Why are they so curious? Did you know that the prophets of old prophesied about this? And it's happening now. I'm Rod Bryant, the voice of the righteous in the nations. If you want to understand this and much more, tune in to Israel News Talk Radio for Beyond the Matrix. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Join us at my new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
You are listening to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Heather Dean, and I'm speaking with my guest, Devorah Ben-Arosh. She's the owner of a consulting business she calls My Internet Buzz. Devorah works with clients from all over the world to create captivating content using digital media across multiple platforms. It's so great to have her back in the studio, this time to talk about setting and achieving our goals. All of Devorah's contact details are listed on her website, which is called myinternetbuzz.strikingly.com, as well as my host page at the Israel News Talk Radio website. Welcome back to the Modern Jewish Home Show, Devorah Ben-Arosh.
Hi.
Before we talk about goals, why do we have to set goals? Why?
Such a good question. Okay, we need to motivate ourselves in our lives to create the life that we want to live. We have to frame it. Where are we going? What are we doing? And what do we want to see appear in our life? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if we don't paint that picture and write some things down, we're just going to be floating.
Right.
Many years ago when I learned about what the potential of Elul has for a Jewish person, you know.
The Jewish month of Elul, one of my favorites.
Right. And basically we're writing our business plan for the year. What do we want to see in our life? Where do we want to grow? How do we want to change? And that is the best time to begin to, you know, obviously put that pen to paper and formulate that plan of what do we want to see in our life?
Okay. So when we're running a modern Jewish home, running any kind of home, what are some typical goals that people undertake? For home life, for a better home life?
Probably managing their home as efficiently as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it like fitness goals also if you're a mom. And you can say, I want to get to a certain size, or I want to be working out 3 times a week, or I want to walk every morning or every night, or I need to get a walking partner. Mm-hmm. I remember once upon a time I lived in Manhattan and I wanted to run the loop in Central Park. Mm-hmm. And I built up for it with a friend and I did it. I had a specific timeline. Mm-hmm. I had a specific goal. Good. And I did it. I remember it was such a celebration for myself.
Great. And you weren't even a mom yet.
So. And I wasn't a mom yet.
Wow. Okay, good. So that's a great example. Do you believe in dreaming big? Like really going for it or just
Yeah. We're only in this life for just a moment, you know? And there's so many things that we want to do. So it's like, why not go for the big one? You know, go for it all. So like last summer, I remember my kids came home. They went to Camp Machanayim and they showed me the paperwork, and at the top of the paper said, think big. They're like, oh, that's the slogan for this year's camp. Everything they did was think big. It was on their t-shirts. It was on their keychain. It was on their back. I mean, everything. And my kids really infused the message into our house, and it was really exciting. And we did a lot of extra projects this year, or we went out of our way to do a little bit more fun things or challenging things because that mindset was going on in the house.
Wow. I like that it starts early because as it is, kids look ahead at life and it's just such a mystery. And they don't necessarily have it ingrained in them, like, go for it and think big and you can do anything. It's, in this case with the camp, it's more than just words. It really is a try to do anything, think big. Okay, so if a person has goals in whatever aspect of their life, what's the first thing that they should do, like when they're deciding?
First of all, write it down.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do, whatever your plan is, begin to write it down. Mm-hmm. What are your personal goals? What are your family goals? Like, one of my family goals is parenting speech. Okay. I want to be able to speak in a positive way with my children instead of constantly giving them negative critical feedback, which is my instinct, unfortunately. I want to give them, you did a great job. I love the way you put away that book, even though if the room is completely a mess.
I saw that
you put the book away and you did a great job. Like constantly pinpointing the positive, because once we train ourselves to see the positive, you know, then our kids are going to feel that. And the only one who can give them that amazing, you're number one, you're fabulous, you can do anything, is their mom, is their parents, is their family. So it's, if we don't begin to do that and really help our kids to get that frame of reference, I'm missing the boat.
That's such a great goal. I like it also because by telling the kid you put away, like how you put away the book or whatever the minor victory is, it also sends a message to the other kids, maybe the ones who aren't following the rules, that mommy's going to give attention to the kid that is following the rules.
Right.
So that's also a goal for the kids. Like, oh, I think I better follow the rules because that's how I'm going to get mommy's attention.
Yep.
Okay. So I have read here and there the importance of accountability when you're setting a goal. And I'm wondering, have you read this too? Can you describe or define, what does that mean, accountability in goal setting?
Well, first of all, you want to achieve something. So if you want to make yourself accountable, otherwise you're not going to achieve it, right? If I didn't run 3 times a week to get to my full loop around Central Park, I was not going to get to that goal. So I had to put myself on some kind of accountability and, you know, and a plan. That's what it is. It's the plan. And, but you know, sometimes we plan and God laughs, you know, you don't always get to do whatever that goal is that you thought you really wanted because God had a different plan.
And it's funny. I think this is one of the reasons why group workshops are so successful is because even for the people that are stagnating or having a hard time reaching a certain goal, when you have a group leader and you have the group support, that's also a way of accountability if it's a weekly or monthly group or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons also why parenting groups for moms are so popular, or diet groups or whatever it is. People have a goal and they check in. This is how I did this or that week.
Right.
Okay. So let's say you have the big goal or a small goal. What about breaking down that goal? Do you believe in baby steps or if not baby steps, maybe like a monthly goal? That's just talking about breaking it down to steps.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it depends on, like you said, what that goal is. Like, you know, like I'm really learning this webinar stuff, how to create one and how to make it successful.
Okay.
So again, I have to, there's taking a class online and I'm reading about it and then I'm going to, you know, experiment. I'm doing one with someone right now.
Okay.
So it's like, so I have like the short term is, you know, I've written it all out.
Right.
What the, you know, and how, so if I want to ask somebody actually for money to pay me, I want to be good at it.
Right.
So
right.
First I'm learning and I'm reading and then I'm experimenting and then I'm doing it with somebody else and then I'm going to test it and then I'm going to try it myself, you know, create, do a little one myself.
Right. Good.
So, then I'll be experienced with, you know, have really life experience with it. So it's like a 3-month goal. And
good.
You
so
know,
3-month goal, because you're not going to learn how to launch webinars in a day.
No.
So it's a 3-month goal. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I've broken it down. I've, you know, began to sketch it and outline it. But now that we're doing this class, I really see that I should really put it into my 3 months exactly what has to happen. Mm-hmm. So in 3 months' time, I can offer, then I can go to someone and say, yeah, let me, I can offer you XYZ PDQ because I've done it.
Right. Because you've done it. You know, a lot of times also as far as breaking down a goal, so there's sometimes a family looks over their budget and they say, wow, we've got to reach a budget goal. But again, that won't happen in a day. that's something that also breaking it down.
Like if you're cutting corners, like in a certain area, it's hard, and you have to figure out how to make those shifts in your life to make those changes.
Right.
But giving things, I think quarterly is a great way to look at anything.
Sure. Especially financial. The family budget. Yeah. Good. Okay. So we've broken down our goals, and now it's time to plan that first step, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
It always starts with what's that first step? Do you think the first step should be a giant leap or a baby step, just some sort of action to propel you forward?
Yeah. It depends on what it is. But normally most people don't want to change because they're stuck in their ways, or they're stuck in their fear, they failed at something before, and therefore they're just so intimidated by failing again.
Wow.
So sometimes you have to push yourself and just get up and go.
Right.
Like if you're going to get back on that diet, or you got to get back on, or if somebody's looking for a job, or you have to get out there and network, or, the holiday season is coming and, you need to get yourself organized. So, if you want to be more organized, you have to figure out what your goal is and what are the baby little things you can get going after you've written it down to motivate yourself.
That's such a great example, especially in the Jewish world when we're getting ready for Passover, right? You're not going to do it in a day, but you do baby steps, like this week, this room, and the next week, the shopping, and this week, another room. I hear what you're saying. I'm even going to use a sports metaphor. If a team wants to make that goal, you can either go down the field or you can do that the long yard pass. And often winners do it by going down the field little by little, because it's really rare that you're going to get a long pass successful.
And you also have to visualize it. You have to see yourself winning at whatever it is. If it's it's the diet, if it's budgeting the money and then going on that vacation, whatever it is, you have to visualize that goal.
Okay, good. So I just want to do one other topic before we get into the celebrating of our goals achieved. Along the way, there are going to be obstacles. I heard once years ago, Dr. Phil say about people that have dieting goals, that not every day is going to be a success only day, that there will be obstacles, there might be dead ends to achieving whatever the goal is. So what are some ways you like to advise people to stay motivated when they're achieving?
There's something called storyboarding. And storyboarding is when you take magazines and you rip them out and you write and you take either a sentence that you like, motivational sentences and pictures, and you put it on your wall. So you have a visual representation of what the things that you want in your life to look like.
You mean on your wall or on your poster board? Because you said storyboard.
It's just called a storyboard.
In our house, we couldn't do it on the wall.
Okay, so it's an A4 piece of paper. You can post it anywhere or put it in your wallet take it with you.
Okay.
You could do a little one. Take a picture and put it in your phone. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like a visual representation of the things that you're working towards. So if it's a dieting goal, again, you could use old pictures of yourself, or you could, pictures of a fitness magazine, or anything that's going to inspire you, because you are going to fall. In life, we fall down a million times in every area. Mm-hmm. But you can't just give up. Today was a bad day, tomorrow will be a better one. But if you've got your little, your notebook that you're journaling in potentially, and you've got your list of goals, and then you have your little storyboard picture, you can just go back and say, okay, I can do this.
Wow, amazing. Okay, folks, let's set those goals. Let's achieve them. Let's get out there. Also, email us and let us know how your goal setting is going. You can send, and I'll share with Devorah, to heather@israelnewstalkradio.com, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, @israelnewstalkradio.com. Let us know about your goal setting and how it's going. More in a moment. Thanks, Devorah.
Thanks.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
New shows are posted every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, highlighting the lighter side and advancing a positive view of Israel here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You've come to the best station for hot news and sizzling commentary. אתם מקשיבים ל-Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentecohen. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
You are listening to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Heather Dean, and I'm speaking with my guest, Rebecca Saltzman, the founder of Balagan Be Gone. Balagan means mess or disorder in Hebrew, and Rebecca helps people organize their homes and helps them reduce their waste. And she's here today to discuss how we can get rid of clutter, ours and our children's. And by the way, Rebecca has a growing online presence through her Facebook group, Organizing in Israel. That's what it's called, Organizing in Israel. And all of her contact details are posted on my host page as well on the Israel News Talk Radio website, including Rebecca's own website, balaganbegone.com. Welcome to the Modern Jewish Home Show, Rebecca Saltzman.
Hi, I'm really glad to be here.
Great. Well, let's do first things first. Why do we let stuff pile up to the point of clutter?
That's a great question. I think it's because we don't really know how to control our waste. For me, waste and clutter are very much intertwined, which is really different than a lot of other personal organizers. Mm-hmm. I think you can't organize clutter. It's not really possible.
You can just stack it up and pile it up.
I mean, you're going to just keep doing it over and over again. If you take a hard look at what your clutter really is, mm-hmm. it's mostly trash. Mm-hmm. Even if it can be recycled, it's still stuff you don't really need or want, and you just keep shuffling it around and piling it around and mm-hmm. moving it around, and until finally you're just like, I don't need this, and you throw it away.
Right.
Or maybe you don't.
Right. There's also something that you say on the website that the things that you do need and want, that sometimes they just don't have a designated place. Right?
So that's true. So I think the key to organization, I have a few rules. The first is to put like items together. But if you really consider like what's out, the things that you actually use, it's because there's probably no room in your cabinets anymore for those items. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really have a home, a place to live in the mm-hmm. first place. Mm-hmm. So I always suggest to my clients, like, think about what's in your cabinets and mm-hmm. decide, like, does it need to live there? Like, what's it taking up space? Why is it left out? Because there isn't any place to put it away.
So let's talk about an example. And I think that with most people, myself included, paperwork, right? We just have tons and tons of papers. So let's apply papers to this example of finding a home and all that.
So paperwork is a really big problem for a lot of people. People don't know how long to keep it. Mm-hmm. And they're always worried that if they don't keep it, like the next day, they'll need it after they throw it away.
Yeah, I can't relate to that. Yeah,
it's true. Right. Sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. I'm a big supporter, and I actually have this as part of my service, of scanning and making digital records. Here in Israel, if you have your own business and you fall into a certain tax category, you need to keep originals. But in the US, digital copies are usually totally fine. And 90% of what you really save, you don't need to show to anybody ever anyways. So there are a few ways that I like to do it. I personally use hanging file folders because that to me speaks to me. And
hanging file folders. This you can put on a desk, basically.
So I actually have a metal mesh storage cube.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That I have three of them, and they stack on top of each other. And I'm pretty like religious about sorting through it and getting rid of the old after 7 years and moving things on. But a lot of my clients like the independent filing, and they choose to do like larger accordion folders and sort it by year. It's really a matter of preference. Some people just like to be like, okay, here's a year. When I'm done, I'll put it away and I don't need to look at it again.
Okay. Do people talk about just how hard it is to throw away things? Because you definitely address this on your website and you just put it out there. Throwing away stuff is hard.
It's super hard. Especially when we get to sentimental items or things that people think that they won't be able to replace or that are going to be really expensive to replace. But you have to think about the cost of what it's costing you to maintain all the time. So for example, a huge one that I get questions about a lot is in between kids, saving clothes. you don't know when your next baby's going to be born, what sex it will be. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big thing. Right. Like, do I save the clothes from my daughter to my potential next child, right, who could be a boy born in the wrong season anyways? Like, no, because if your daughter's born in August, it's not the same as a son who's born in December.
Absolutely.
And while certain things can totally be shared and be unisex, like all the stuff you need in August is not what you need in December. Mm-hmm, so like, are you even saving the right stuff? In the meantime, nobody's getting use out of it.
Right.
And it's taking up your space, both your mental and your physical space. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting any use. So we might as well lend it out and know that when you need something, someone will pass stuff back to you.
Ah, that's a good point, right?
My feeling is always like, God will always pass stuff back to you. Whatever you need, you'll always have what you need. Right. And either you'll have the money to buy it new, or someone will give it to you secondhand, or whatever you need.
Yeah,
that's people find that the release of letting go is so such a good feeling that it's worth it.
You say on your website, you advise us to sort through your stuff methodically and thoughtfully for the best results. And I'm wondering if you could explain, because my thing is, when I'm sorting, I fall into that trap of going down memory lane, right? so you explain what you mean by methodically and thoughtfully for the best results.
I think if that's you, if you go down memory lane and you like get sidetracked, definitely sort with a buddy or an organizer, because you need someone to keep you on track. If you have books and clothing and dishes and I don't know whatever else in one room, like all mixed together, don't sort the different categories all at the same time. Try to like gather all the books in that room and then sort the books.
Okay.
Try to gather all of your clothes and then sort the clothes.
Great.
When you do it that way, you first see exactly how much you have. Mm. But you also, you know exactly what you have. So if there's anything missing, you could say, okay, I'm going to get rid of X, Y, and Z. I know that because of what I can see, that here's what I have and here's everything. I also need A, B, and C.
Ah, good. Right.
So you get like a better sense, and you're not going to go out and buy stuff just for the sake of buying. Right. You'll really buy with purpose, which is a much better habit to be in anyways.
Right. And also it's definitely freeing your mind.
Yeah.
So we're adults, but our kids are little adults, so to speak. How do we help our kids get rid of their own clutter?
So I really believe that organization is a learned skill. But we don't always give our kids enough opportunity to practice that skill. Especially now, a lot of kids today have like ADD or attention problems in general. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to sit down and focus and organize. So it's worthwhile for us to sit down with our kids. Mm-hmm. You can't say to your kid when they're standing in a mess, go clean up your room.
Right.
It's not effective. Can you clean up your room when you're standing in a mess? You don't know where to start.
Right.
And kids even more so don't know where to start because they don't have the skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to regularly sit down and organize with your kids. My kids and I go through, now we're at a point where we can do it every 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's when their balagan starts to get back out of control again. But at the beginning, it was certainly every month.
Okay, so let's say that you're sitting down with them and maybe the desk drawers are overflowing, whether it's paperwork or whether it's clothes or just junk, right? That sentimental junk. So what, when you sit down with them, what does it look like? Do you have receptacles? And then do you have, as the mommy, do you have questions? How badly do you need this? Did you use it in the past 6 months? Like what does it look like?
So depending on the age of your kid, you're going to have to figure out what's an appropriate time to do it. And you might have to do it over several days for short periods of time. So like, make a schedule. Today we're going to do your desk. Tomorrow we'll do your closet. The day after we'll do your toys. And you want to just sort of make a bin for donate, make a bin for garbage, and make a home, designate a home for whatever you're going to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that if you discuss with your kids where things will go, it's much easier for them to move on. So we used to give all of our things either to the playroom at school or the playroom at our synagogue or wherever they would decide that they wanted to send it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so easy. Let some other kid have it. And then they were like, great. And it was easy for them to let go. And we just go through each item, keep, toss, garbage.
Right. Right, right. Very nice. Okay. I like how you give this tip that you say, like you give them this kind of directions. You say a few starter tasks, then a little bit more guidance. And then, Rebecca, on your website, you say you can tell your kids, okay, well, I helped you clean your room. Will you help me clean the kitchen? You say this actually works. I got to try this.
It does work sometimes. My kids, after I ask them like six times, they're usually pretty helpful. They're more motivated to be clean when their own space is clean because they see, like, to keep the general home areas clean when their own space is clean because they feel good that their room is clean, and that's a nice feeling for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I find that a lot of times kids, they don't really care if it's a mess, even if a friend is coming over, right? They don't care.
well, that's not true. My daughter cares more than my boys. Uh-huh. One of my boys cares more than the other.
Okay.
And actually, my youngest son he shares a room with his brother. He gets mad when his brother's side of the room is a mess. He's like, his room is such a mess.
Yes, that definitely can come up. So you have this idea, when a new toy comes in, you encourage your child to pass an older one, right? So maybe that they finished nursery school, so a new toy comes in, hey, let's give that to your nursery school, right?
Yeah. It's sort of like the same rule I use for grown-ups, one in, one out. Mm-hmm. At this point, I started asking, and for many years already, I've been asking to not give gifts at birthday parties. Mm-hmm. So it's become less and less of a problem. Yeah. It is a problem here in Israel. The moms don't really like that at all. They're like, "What do you mean we can't give a gift?"
Right. Right. Well, God bless them that they want to give.
Yeah.
Right. Right. The givers. These are so many great ideas about clutter. I feel freer already. I can't wait to implement some of these.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for your time, Rebecca Saltzman.
Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for us today on the Modern Jewish Home Show. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for more Straight Talk from Israel on Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.